I'm Tom Hall. This is Midday. Today, another installment in our series of conversations with the candidates. Delegate Pat McDonough joins me. He has represented parts of Baltimore and Harford counties for the past 15 years. In 2016, he ran unsuccessfully for Congress. Now he's one of two Republicans running in the primary for Baltimore County Executive. Several development projects in the county have become political lightning rods, as has the need to relieve overcrowding in some county schools. Baltimore County is a sprawling jurisdiction, the third largest in Maryland, with more citizens than several states. The county executive manages a $3.5 billion annual budget. Plus, Kamal High and Sean Yost of the Afro-American newspaper join me for the Afro Check-In. Midday starts right after the news. Good afternoon and welcome. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Hope you had a good weekend. Thank you so much for being with us. Today, we're going to continue our series of conversations with the candidates in the run-up to Maryland's June 26 primary election. My guest is Delegate Pat McDonough. He's a Republican, and he has represented parts of Baltimore and Harford counties in the Maryland legislature for the past 15 years. He also represented District 7 as a conservative Democrat for one term back in 1979 until 1983. He's been a member of the Health and Government Operations Committee since 2003. In 2016, he ran for Congress in Maryland's 2nd congressional district and was defeated by incumbent Dutch Ruppersberger. Delegate McDonough is one of two Republicans running for Baltimore County Executive. That seat is currently held by Democrat Kevin Kamenetz, who was first elected in 2010. Kamenetz is now running in the crowded Democratic primary for governor. Besides Delegate McDonough and his Republican opponent, Al Redmer, there are four Democrats on the primary ballot in June, hoping to become the county's 13th executive in the November election. Besides his many years in Annapolis, Delegate McDonough was until recently host of a show on WCBM radio. He is 74 years old. He was born in Baltimore. He attended City College and the University of Baltimore. He and his family live in Middle River. We are streaming our conversation with Delegate Pat McDonough on the Facebook page at WIPR. A little bit later in the program, we will take your calls and comments, 410-662-8780, to send us an email, midday@wipr.org, and to find us on Twitter at @MiddayWIPR. Delegate, thanks for coming back. It's good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you again.
So, you gave an interview to our colleague Len Lazarek of MarylandReporter.com last week, and you basically said you'd had it with the legislature. You apparently very frustrated with your position as a delegate in the legislature. You even said it would be torture to go back for this last session, the one that just so I don't know whether now that it's over you considered it torturous,
well, but it can be torture at times, at any time, to be honest with you.
But I mean, how does that play into your decision to run for this next post county executive?
It was an interesting experience in the General Assembly. I arrived there many years ago as a Democrat from Baltimore City as a very young man, and things were quite different then. People don't realize there were only 14 Republicans. And everybody else was a Democrat, but the party at that time was much more moderate. They weren't a Tea Party or anything like that, but they were more moderate than today's party. And then to come back 25 years later and win four consecutive races and serve there for 16 years, it can be frustrating. Basically, you have 91, even though we have 50 Republicans now, you have 91 Democrats, so you're really outnumbered. It's like being General Custer at Little Bighorn. There isn't a whole lot you can get done, although we do work together. I was on Fox 45 Morning News, where I do commentary occasionally, and I was on with Brooke Learman today, and we were talking about opioids and heroin and how we all cooperated on a lot of legislation in the General Assembly, both parties and both philosophies really cooperated. But that doesn't happen that often on the big stuff. So you get frustrated after a little bit of time. But beyond the idea of just being there and wanting to move on, mainly, The fact was that this is an open seat, and I'm also very frustrated, quite frankly, with the direction in which Baltimore County is moving. And a lot of other people feel the same way as I do, even more than I thought as I've traveled around the county for a period of time now. And I felt it was time for change, and we would need to have candidates or a candidate who is willing to stand up and promote change in a lot of areas, ranging from education to law enforcement, and that this was the time to become a candidate. So I decided to get into the race. I had considered it before. I had looked at it. I'd always had an interest in the county executive's position, and I had worked for the last Republican county executive, Roger Hayden, and little did people notice, but I also worked for the great William Donald Schaefer in the mayor's office, which was quite an experience, which I learned a lot of stuff that I think I can actually use today. So I was always interested in the county executive's position. I love the county.
What frustrates you about the county, and what kind of change are you talking about?
I don't even know where to start. I mean, I usually start, I go around the county, and whenever I make speeches or remarks and I visit community groups and that sort of thing, I always ask them, do you think the county is better off now than it was 5-6 years ago? And they say, no, we don't. And I say, are you confident in the future of the county? Are we moving in the right direction? They say, no, we're not. And so why is that? You can cite a couple of statistics when you think about it. Number one, there's been a 78% increase in poverty in the county since 1990, 38% in the past 8 years. There is a 30% increase in violent crime in Baltimore County, and that has happened only in the last 3 years. And in Baltimore County's board, not the Board of Education, but in the education system, there is a 33% increase in bullying and violent incidents in the education system. In addition to that, we are now seeing vacant boarded up houses in a number of county neighborhoods. We are seeing a deterioration in the neighborhoods. There are a multitude of problems that people are concerned about, and I think the thing that is the driving force in Baltimore County in this election is change. People want change.
How does a person who's been in elective office for as long as you've been represent change? I mean, a lot of folks would say, that's just politics as usual. He's just switching gigs.
Well, the point is that I have been in office, but I have represented certain characteristics in office. I've always been an independent thinker. I haven't always gone along with my party. And I've always been a person who will take on a tough cause like the rain tax, which a lot of people supported in the beginning and I felt was really not a good idea for business or for homeowners. And I fought it. And eventually in Baltimore County, I got it abolished through 3 years of hard effort. People are looking for people who are having the courage to be different. Now, in Baltimore County, one of the best-kept secrets, Tom, is that there is what we used to call in the old days a political machine. There is a very powerful group of people in Baltimore County. We know about the developers, of course. We've heard that story about pay-to-play and all that sort of thing, and Towson Row and $47 million. But there are powerful attorneys. There are influential people that influence the education system, and they are behind the county executives. They don't own them. They don't control them. But they have great influence. And my candidacy represents change in that I will be independent. I will not answer to those people. And I will represent change in some of my policies that I'm going to provide to the county, which we have sent out 50,000 brochures. Our slogan is put people first, because we don't believe there's accountability in the county. And putting people first is not one of the things that the Baltimore County administrations have been advocating for the past 24 years. One party, 24 years. That's a long time.
Let's talk about a couple of things that you've mentioned here, crime. And you're exactly right that there has been an increase in violent crime. I have it as 14.5% up in the last year, not 38%. But
no, 30 is the percentage we have from the police department.
Kevin Kamenetz, the current county executive, about a year and a half ago, replaced Chief Jim Johnson, the head of the Baltimore County Police Department, with Terry Sheraton, who had left Baltimore County, having been its police department chief, to go to work during the O'Malley administration, leading the Maryland State Police. Are you confident in Chief Sheraton's capacity to do the job? Would you, if you were to survive the primary and win the election, would you keep Mr. Sheridan on?
No, we would not retain Chief Sheridan. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Chief Sheridan. I would like to appoint my own chief. The Baltimore County Executive is the chief of police. He appoints the chief. He has a lot to say about the command staff. But most important, he decides on the deployment of the Baltimore County Police Department, and we're going to change the deployment. Baltimore County Police Department is essentially a suburban police force operating in a growing urbanized suburban county. My police force that I want to take a look at for guidelines for Baltimore County is the New York City Police Department, which is, in my opinion, probably the best in the nation, if not the world. And they have a neighborhood factoring system that they use. They've been very successful on fighting heroin. They've been very successful on fighting violent crime. And the neighborhood factoring is where, for example, we have 10 large precincts in Baltimore County with 300 personnel in each one. We are going to break that down into 20 police centers. We're still going to retain the big precincts, but we're going to break it down into 20 police centers, and they're going to be strategically placed in the areas where we have the crime stats. Our policing is going to be where everybody knows your name. We're going to know everybody's name in the neighborhood. We're going to know every business owner's name.
Would you call it community policing?
It's community policing to some extent, but even more intensive. It's community policing with an edge on it to the point that we are going to have intelligence units in the police areas where we need them. And we're going to have strong law enforcement in Baltimore County.
There's the New York City Police Department of today, and there's the New York City Police Department, say, of Mayor Giuliani's term.
Well, it hasn't changed that much.
So-called broken windows policing. Is that also something that you think?
Well, the Giuliani Police Department methods and policies have not changed that much today because the ensuing mayors, even Bill Blasey, who you would consider a very liberal mayor compared to Mayor Giuliani, the people of New York would not permit the change, the radical change of any type of that.
Well, Mr. De Blasio ran on a platform of getting rid of broken windows policing and going to a more—
He ran on that platform, but he didn't retain it. It's now pretty much—
He won the election.
Well, he won the election, but they pretty much didn't retain it. I mean, they are still using the same methods to a great degree, maybe not exactly, but they are using that neighborhood intensity, involvement, responding quickly, acting in a way where, for example, prosecution, we are going to prosecute crimes in a harsh way, if I'm going to use that term harsh, but I am not going to permit Baltimore County to continue to move in the direction of an enforcement system that is not working, and there is an increase in crime. I'm not running and saying I'm going to allow crime to increase. No, I'm going to fight it. So that's
does
some
the Baltimore City Police Department, for example, form any paradigm or example for you? Because they were doing some pretty aggressive policing that ended up in a consent decree from the Department of Justice saying that they were working and acting in unconstitutional ways. I mean, are people are you suggesting that Baltimore County Police should be policing more aggressively in the way
exactly,
that the city
but
did?
I think we need to take a realistic look at what the Baltimore City Police Department did at that time. There were 66,000 arrests and there were 194 murders in Baltimore City. There were some results that were working. That's number one. Number two, New York City does what they call constitutional the constitutional enforcement. There is a way you can do it and a way you cannot do it. But the mayor says she cannot, when she first became mayor, she said she cannot arrest her way out of the crime problem in Baltimore City. Well, she's wrong. You can arrest your way out. That 66,194 statistic tells you you can. But we can't blame the police. You talk about the Baltimore City Police Department. Some of the programs that they are trying, the Safe Streets programs, some of the police department where they go into surges in certain areas, these are good policies. I agree with them. But I come from the General Assembly. The General Assembly passes legislation. For years, I fought for legislation of more mandatory sentencing on violent repeat offenders. Couldn't get it through, never got it through. It was always advocacy for the criminal. But now, what happened? It got so bad in Baltimore City that in the last session of the legislature, both the Democrats on the Judiciary Committee and the governor, the Republican governor, and the Republicans came together and said, yes, let's do some of the stuff Pat McDonough wanted to do.
Are you unconvinced by the data that talks about the fact that in terms of efficacy and effectiveness in fighting violent crime and reducing violent crime, mandatory minimums and mandatory sentences don't do the job?
No, I don't agree with that. I think that's incorrect. The Manhattan Institute in New York has done a lot of work on that and disagrees with that. I think if you lock somebody up and they deserve to be locked up for a period of time, and they are locked up for a period of time, common sense tells you they're not going to commit crimes in neighborhoods.
When it comes to the legislature, your opponent in this race, Al Redmer, who has the endorsement of Governor Hogan, who's a very popular governor in Baltimore County.
The governor
County.
Makes mistakes.
Well, he's got an 85% popularity.
Yeah, but his reelect is 452.
Well, you know, people have different polls for different things. But
no, reelect's what matters. Politicians will tell you that.
Yeah, of course. But his, if it comes to approval ratings, mm-hmm. his approval rating in the county is even higher than it is statewide, which is already in the 70% range. But that the actual number is neither here nor there. Mr. Redmer makes the case for his own candidacy, saying, I get along with the governor. Mm-hmm. If the governor is reelected, I will have an ally in the state house. If you are elected, if you're the Republican nominee and then become the mm-hmm. county executive, will you have an ally in the state house? You and Governor Hogan have locked horns on a couple of occasions.
No, we haven't, actually. It's a fair question. I supported the governor when he ran among the other Republican candidates. I supported him on talk radio, and I was the first person on talk radio to predict he was going to win. So I have supported him. I have supported him in the legislature. He was the co-sponsor of my rain tax bill, and I do support the governor. In fact, I have endorsed the governor, and I'm supporting him for re-election. He picked Al because Al's in his administration, and I guess he thinks he can control him. But the fact of the matter is, I'm going to work with the governor if he's fortunate enough to be re-elected. The other part about it is this, and I'm hearing this a lot on the streets, and this is interesting. People are saying, we want to pick our own county executive. We don't want the governor picking our county executive. We'd like to pick our own county executive. And I'll give you another thing about politics. You were talking about numbers, which are interesting. The reelect number is the only number that matters in politics, okay? The governor is at 52. He used to be at 61. In Baltimore County, he got 59% of the vote in the last election. That was the lowest turnout of Democrats in the history of the state. That's not going to happen this time. Okay, there's going to be a bigger turnout. He's got to get 63% of the vote in Baltimore County, according to the numbers we have seen. He's not even near 59. So he's popular, but he's not that popular because there are Trump supporters in Baltimore County and there are conservative Democrats, and they're not happy with the governor bashing Trump, taking down the statues, fracking, and a number of other legislative issues that we were talking about earlier that they're not happy with.
Delegate Pat McDonough, he's one of two Republican candidates seeking his party's nomination to be the next Baltimore County executive. He has represented Baltimore and Harford counties in the House of Delegates since 2003. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation with Pat McDonough, and we will take your questions and comments. 410-662-8780, our email midday@wipr.org. Our Twitter handle, @MiddayWIPR. We are also streaming on the WIPR Facebook page. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow, it's Midday Culture Connections with Dr. Sherry Parks. Our guest will be a cultural anthropologist, Dr. Stanford Carpenter. We're going to talk about diversity in the media, TV and movies and online platforms. So that's our topic tomorrow, coming up on Midday. If you've just joined us today, my guest is Delegate Pat McDonough. He's one of two candidates vying for the Republican nomination in the race for Baltimore County Executive. The other is State Insurance Commissioner Al Redmer Jr. You can join our conversation at 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wipr.org. Our Twitter handle, @MiddayWIPR. And we are streaming on the WIPR Facebook page. Let's talk about education, Delegate. Valletta White, who was the acting Baltimore County superintendent of schools, has now been appointed to that position permanently. Both you and your opponent opposed that move. Mm-hmm. What does that mean moving forward for the Baltimore County schools?
Well, I've had a lot of problems with the Board of Education in Baltimore County. One of them, of course, was Dallas Stance, who was appointed by that board. And that board was an appointed board. So I co-sponsored legislation in the General Assembly to elect 7 members of the board to make it a hybrid board where it would have more access to the people's thoughts. I mentioned those influential people earlier in Baltimore County, and they have a lot of control over that board. And those of us who opposed Dallas Dance at that time couldn't get our word in edgewise. But I did file a complaint against Dance on ethics for getting that money out of Chicago from that Stoops Academy. I won that case, by the way. And the special prosecutor who later convicted Dance said that that was the first indictment that he went after that case. So I was responsible for getting rid of Dance. And I think that I got to say, Verletta White, you know, her profile is very attractive. It's very appealing. She's a Baltimore County person, and she's been through the system. But she advocates a lot of Dance's policies, which I oppose. So I don't know how we're going to get along.
What policies?
Before I get that one, say this was a lame duck board, Tom. It was a lame duck board. There was no need to rush to judgment. In November, we're going to have a new Board of Education. We're going to have a new county executive, whoever that may be. They should have waited until that time to make a decision. They already started a search committee, and they cut it off at the knees. So Verletta White should not be the permanent superintendent at this time. As county executive, I would like to get along with her, but I'm opposed to Common Core. I'm opposed to the STAT program as it is now constituted. I want K through 6 to be teacher-centric curriculum, not the computers and the tablets. And I'm going to take that part, which is about $75 million, and dedicate it to the building of the three high schools that we need. I don't see a civics being taught in Baltimore County.
But should the county executive and the county council be managing the school system to that degree?
Yes, and that's a great question, because traditionally they have not. They have stood off and been the banker and the purser. I'm not going to be the banker and the purser. Verletta White said to me down in Annapolis, she said, I'm responsible for 113 children. I said, as county executive, I'm responsible for 210,000 children in Baltimore County, and I am responsible to the taxpayers and the citizens. And education, I have on my website, Excellence in Education, I have an entire policy program. I'm going to appoint an executive commission on education, and I'm going to appoint a lot of talented people to that commission. We're going to be fully, totally involved in education, not only public education, but private education, apprenticeship, job training. We're going to have our people going to Annapolis because we need more money from Annapolis to help us out. Baltimore City gets a lot of money. It's a lot of money we don't get. We need help from the federal government. We need more community involvement in education. So we're going to go beyond the school board and the superintendent, and it's going to education excellence in Baltimore County is going to involve everybody.
Building new schools is a very controversial issue in Baltimore County. Towson High School needs either a rehab or a complete new rebuild. Delaney High School, Lansdowne High School, and there are constituents in each of these areas that are, you know, feel like they're competing with each other for limited funds to either renovate or build new schools in those districts. How do you approach that problem?
Well, all three need to be built, and they will be built in my term. As I said before, number one, we're going to take money.
They may cost as much as $140 million a piece.
Maybe not. Maybe not. That's the other part of the story that's going to be coming out. The fact of the matter is we're going to take maybe $75 million a year or more from the STAT program dedicated to the building of these high schools. Also, this budget. This budget is a controversial issue in this campaign. It is a dishonest budget. We don't know all the facts and figures. The money is there, I've been told, to build these schools over a prolonged period of time, but get the money out front. And also, of all places in California, they have what they call these prototype high schools they're building, which are like cookie cutter high schools that construction-wise can be built for half the price that you just mentioned. They change the facade. They change the personality because everybody wants their own high school. They don't want them all to look the same. But the essential building can be done almost simultaneously. So with innovation, new construction techniques, the STAT money, and an honest budget, we're going to build all three high schools in my term, first term.
We have a Facebook post from Ryan who says, what is the value of diversity in Baltimore County? You have, you're on record as saying, I'm going to stop Section 8,
right. And
I know how to do it, and we are going to do it to save our neighborhoods and save our county.
Right. Well, as far as diversity is concerned, I support anybody for any job. We have a lot of talented people in Baltimore County, regardless of race. Put people first is a philosophy that means everybody gets involved. We have a lot of talented people in Baltimore County that are not being used for anything. They're being discarded because of this powerful organization that runs the county. We're going to have a lot of study groups. We're going to have that commission on education. We're going to have a new commission on economic development. And everybody is going to be asked to participate, regardless of race. You know, when I worked for William Donald Schaefer, he used to appoint so many people with so many ideas. He used to tell me that when he would walk down the street in Baltimore City, people would run away from him because they thought they were going to be hired to do a job they weren't going to get paid for. I'm going to hire a lot of people, but I'm not going to pay them. They're going to work for the county because our goal is to make America's best county. And the Section 8, to me, is not about race. Section 8 is about failure and making a housing policy work. It's a lot more complex than about race, because not everybody in Section 8 is black or Hispanic.
Of course, and we have a emailer who points out that many of them are senior citizens.
That's
people
true.
Who are disabled.
Yes.
There are veterans of all races. But in the conciliation agreement, which the Department of Housing and Urban Development signed with the county a couple of years ago, say that under this agreement, African-American families with children who utilize a housing choice voucher, that's
right.
the new name for Section 8,
right.
Will be targeted. 26% of your constituents in Baltimore County are African-Americans. People hear this thing. I'm going to stop Section 8,
right.
and they hear it as code for we're going to limit the number of black people who can move to
Baltimore.
Yeah,
we know that. We know that's going to happen, but we're going to discuss it in a very comprehensive, common sense way. Here's what I mean by that. I have been told, for example, we have 25,000 vouchers in Baltimore City, and we have like 20,000 vouchers in Baltimore County. Why do we have 20,000 vouchers? We have done our part. We have contributed what is necessary on the whole question of Section 8. In fact, I think we have reached a point where we are being exploited and taken advantage of. So my plan is this. Number one, I don't believe that this lawsuit is legitimate.
The lawsuit says, with all due respect, sir, that you've got to build 1,000 affordable housing units in Baltimore County,
right.
and that you've got to disperse them so that they're not all concentrated in one place.
I understand.
The reason for that is that there is a legacy and a history of discrimination against people of color in Baltimore County. That's why the federal government got involved.
It's not true. And here's what we're going to do. I appoint 45 attorneys in Baltimore County, me personally. They're all going to work on day one to challenge that lawsuit. That lawsuit is flimsy and frivolous and not factual, and I believe we can win it in court. First of all, it was never challenged in the first place. Kevin Kamenetz and his law department caved in on it and didn't do anything about it. So we're going to challenge that, and we're going to get rid of that. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to do a comprehensive, in-depth, fair study of Section 8 housing in Baltimore County and the impact it has had on Baltimore County in relationship to social services, taxes, poverty, and other issues. We're going to take a serious but honest look at that. The third thing we're going to do, and this is one of the problems I have, Tom, and all elected officials have this problem. When we get a complaint about a tenant or a landlord in Section 8 housing, and we try to get it resolved in the community, we get no response whatsoever, which is interesting.
Response from whom?
From HUD or the county. In other words, the county has, I understand, maybe 40 or 50 inspectors. Only two are HUD inspectors that go into Section 8 housing. That's going to stop. Another thing we have in Baltimore
but
County.
But as a philosophical matter, yeah. is it a good idea to make affordable housing available in Baltimore County?
Well, affordable housing.
Because a bunch of employers would tell you that it's a very good idea.
Well, I wouldn't say that overabundance, saturation, exploitation of affordable housing in Baltimore County is not good. Is affordable housing in general a practical and fair approach for people? Yes.
And 1,000 units is too many in your mind?
No, we have too many now. We are
overabundant. So an additional 1,000 units, which is what this lawsuit calls for, would be
The lawsuit calls for more than that. The lawsuit goes beyond that. The lawsuit goes beyond controlling policy in Baltimore County. There is no law that says any county or subdivision has to take affordable housing or Section 8 housing. All we have to do is comply with the Fair Housing Law, which we do, of course. But the fact of the matter is this lawsuit is frivolous. It is creating a bureaucracy and an agency and a law enforcement entity that should not exist. It has not been elected.
And there are those who would disagree with the assessment that
the current practice
is in accordance with the Fair Housing Act. But we're not going to litigate that here. But Dave in Towson, welcome to Midday with Delegate Pat McDonough.
Hi, how are you doing, Pat?
Good, thank you.
I was calling to find out if you would support a constant yield tax next year, because on Tuesday night there will be a vote by the council to probably continue the 1.1% constant yield rate, which really increases your property taxes 2% when you break it down. For 24 years, the administrations have been using this 1.1, which is a deceptive nickel and dime rate, and they're using an error because you're actually paying 2% more.
All right. Well, thanks for the comment, Dave. I'm sure there are a lot of folks like me who don't understand that minutia.
Well,
Can you explain it?
I generally understand what he's talking about, but the fact of the matter, Tom, to be honest with you, is that I pledge to the people I will not increase the taxes in Baltimore County during my 4 or 8 year term. That's not going to happen. But the second thing I pledge is that we are going to take not only an audit of the budget, we're going to do an investigative audit. I have heard too much about what is happening with the county budget. One county executive, who I will not name, has said to me, he has looked at our budget and he says, you have a lot of serious problems there. You may have more money than you think, number one. Number two, money is being funneled in areas it shouldn't be funneled, and you have a dishonest budget. So I can't comment on the question of constant yield if I haven't seen a real budget in front of me, but I will pledge to the people.
You've seen the report of the Spending Affordability
yes.
Committee, which Tom Quirk from Lansdowne chaired that committee.
Right.
Do you believe or agree
yes.
with some of his conclusions
yes.
that there may be some difficult fiscal decisions ahead for the county?
I do agree with that based on the spending in relationship to the bonding authority and in relationship to the debt.
So what's your approach then to approaching that problem?
We're going to have to take an honest and serious look at how the money is being spent in Baltimore County and what it's being spent on. One of the things that the county executive has a great deal of authority on are the spending decisions and the policies that go behind those. I mentioned earlier when we were talking about the STAT program, and I'm not the only candidate for county executive, I'll be honest with you, who doesn't want K-12 spending on STAT. And there's a lot of money in there, a $200 million expenditure on the computers and the tablets, plus an ongoing expenditure. This is where
you mentioned $75 million a little bit.
Well, $75 million would be related to the K-6 portion of it. So, you know, these are things that we can look at and change. My philosophy: 16 years in the Maryland General Assembly, I never voted for a tax increase, and as county executive, I don't intend to propose one.
On Facebook, Scott emails or Facebook posts on Facebook that I'm impressed with Delegate McDonough's grasp of the crime issues. I like his ideas on enhanced community policing. Todd sends us an email, and Delegate, this is an impression that a lot of people perhaps have of you, just given your long time in the public eye. Todd says, Mr. McDonough is a right-wing radical who would like us to return to the culture of the 1950s. His ideas don't represent those of the citizenry of Baltimore County, and he would be as much of an existential danger to the county as Trump is to the country. So, you know, if you get this nomination,
yes.
you're going to have to track some Democratic votes.
Yes.
And there are people who've associated you quite closely with President Trump. You embraced Mr. Trump, certainly in a way that Governor Hogan didn't do in the last cycle. How do you answer that?
Well, there are people like that gentleman who feel that that is the description of me, and they will stick with that. It'd be impossible for me to change it. I think my whole campaign and my policy, and if you read my brochures, and by the way, I want you to please visit my website, which is patmcdonough.com, or go to my Facebook, Pat McDonough MD. There is a full hour debate between me and Mr. Redmer on that Facebook. If you want to see the differences between the two of us, go visit that. This is going to be a William Donald Schaefer County executive, not a Donald Trump County executive. And what I've learned over the years, there's a great deal of difference between being a legislator and being an executive. I'm not concerned about whether you're a liberal or you're a conservative or an independent or a Democrat or Republican. You will work with my administration and I will accept your ideas if you believe in the agenda that I have, which is to make Baltimore County America's best, a place to live, a place to play, and a place to have a job. And we're not going to worry about philosophies. We're not going to worry about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or North Korea. Donald Schaefer taught me you take care of your people. Baltimore County comes first, and that's what we're going to work for.
Mary Kate in Hereford, welcome to Midday with Delegate McDonough.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am. If you could make your comment really quickly, we're running out of time. I'd be grateful. Thank you.
Absolutely. I moved here recently from upstate New York. I took my 9 and 13-year-old daughters to a neighborhood forum to meet all the county executives. Pat commented on the appearance of my 9-year-old and my 13-year-old. And while it was probably a compliment to him, I just want him to know, I was shocked, and my daughters were incredibly uncomfortable.
All right, well, thank you for that comment.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, evidently,
I think it's a cheap shot on her part, but I will say this, that I meet children all the time in these campaigns, and the only thing I would say about them is that I talk to them, I ask them what they think, and that's it. I don't know what she's talking about. I just think it was a cheap shot on radio.
We have a caller. We're not going to have time to get to that actual call, but do you favor a minimum wage increase, a $15 minimum wage? If you oppose Section 8 or the expansion of Section 8, the housing choice vouchers, will you do more to expose behavior by people like the Kushner companies
who
own a lot of real estate in Baltimore
County?
Yeah,
what we're talking about on the housing issue in Baltimore County, it's not only about tenants. I'm talking about landlords. There is corruption in some of the Section 8 housing and affordable housing, and also in some of this other housing. And, we're on both sides. Kushner, to me, is terrible, believe me. But the other part about you were asking about the minimum wage increase. Now, I do not support the minimum wage to the so-called $15. It's not doing well in Seattle. I'm a small business owner. I support the small business community, have a 100% voting record with the small business community. They are all opposed to it. It's too much too soon, and it would put them, particularly in the restaurant and the leisure industry, it would make create a great problem for them meeting the number of jobs that they could create.
We have to call it a day here, Delegate McDonough, but we do have a number of comments and emails concerning some ethical questions that people have raised about your campaign. Red Maryland, which is a
organization. Cheap shot artist right now.
Well, they generally support Republican candidates.
No, they don't. They oppose them and take cheap shots at a lot of them.
Well, but they have mentioned, for example, that you have 26 violations on your campaign account dating back the last 12 years, and you file them late, and they bring up some examples of expenditures that perhaps shouldn't be covered. But can you address ethical questions that people have?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. First of all, I want to put people straight about Red Maryland. Red Maryland always takes cheap shots at conservatives. They are supported by and funded by the governor. People don't know that, but they are, who supports my opponent. They talk about 26 violations. That's over 16 years. That was late filed fees, $100, $150. They're fees. They're not fines. Al Redmond, on the other hand, did an event this year for the governor during the legislative term, which is a real serious violation, and he wound up getting the governor fined $250 for doing that. He is now also putting out literature that do not have authority lines, and we're going to be filing complaints on that. So compared to late fees over 16 years, I think what Redmer did this year in April by having that illegal event, 187 members of the state legislature, they know the law. I have never seen one of them ever violate that part of the law which he violated.
Again, Red Maryland reports that you've racked up $4,140 in fines. You want to just respond to that?
Yeah, it was over 16 years.
Okay.
They're not fines. They're fees for turning it in late. You turn it in a week late. You turn it in a month late. But every report that I have turned in over 16 years, they have never found a violation, an incorrection, or an error. They were just late fees. That's all they were. Al Redmer did a lot more than I did in April in terms of a real offense, and it offended his governor, cost $250.
All right. Well, Delegate, I appreciate your coming in and answering questions from me and from our callers and emailers. Thank you very much.
Happy to be here.
We will stay with you as the campaign continues.
Thank you very much.
Delegate Pat McDonough, he's one of two Republican candidates running in the primary for Baltimore County Executive. The other is Maryland State Insurance Commissioner Al Redmer Jr. The primary is June 26th. Early voting begins in 49 days on June 14th. This has been another in our series of conversations with the candidates. You can catch all of our candidate interviews at WIPR.org/midday. Coming up after a short break, Kamau High, the managing editor of the Afro-American newspaper, and Sean Yost, the paper's Baltimore editor, will stop by for the Afro check-in. And before we take that break, on Mondays here on Midday, it's our practice to read the names of the people who lost their lives to violence in the city of Baltimore during the previous week. We stand in witness to their untimely deaths, and we remember their families and friends in their hour of grief. Since January, 91 people in Baltimore City have lost their lives to violence. Last week, 4 people were victims of homicide. 2 have yet to be identified by the police department. The others are Gilbert White, age 38, and Diamante Israel Howard. He was 19 years old. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.